Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Mukbil Yarbrough. Sonny Young is taking a break from his mic, and I'll be filling in for him here in Washington. Welcome to the June 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll start off today's show with a wrap-up of African sports from Samson O'Malley. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Mukbil. We'll begin the wrap of Africa sports highlight for this weekend with the qualifying fixtures for next year's Africa Cup of Nations to be hosted by Cote d'Ivoire. A total of 19 games will be played this weekend across various venues in match day 5. In South Africa, the Atlas Lions of Morocco will square up against host Bafana Bafana. Morocco finished 4th at last year's FIFA World Cup in Qatar, but Morocco and South Africa have already qualified for next year's AFCON Championships. But Youssouf Armani, Moroccan ambassador to South Africa, believes there's still plenty to play for on Saturday.
Morocco has a very good team. We were almost in the final of the World Cup, but we'll come here to share our experience. We have good players. I don't know. Of course, I hope that Morocco will win on Saturday. But anyhow, the most important is that our two teams are together, playing together for building a safe, prosperous Africa for young and women in our continent.
In Group C, Namibia will play Burundi in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. This is because, like Namibia, Burundi do not have a stadium that meets basic CAF or FIFA requirements to stage international matches. Brave Warriors of Namibia coach Colin Benjamin says the Brave Warriors camp has an abundance of passion and commitment ahead of their pivotal 2023 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier against Burundi on Tuesday.
We're actually at the point where we're nearly 70%. We've covered all our topics. I think the spirits are really good, as you saw. We're confident, and I think the boys are in a good state to actually get the job done in Burundi.
Some of the players in the Namibian squad are already looking forward to victory against the East Africans.
Everything is okay. The mood is fine. We're preparing very well. My teammates are okay. We are hungry since day one. We just go out here and win the game and come back home.
The training is proper. We are working hard to go get a positive result in Tanzania.
Training is really good, and everyone is giving their all, everyone is pushing.
In Monrovia, President George Weah of Liberia will be one of the spectators at the Samuel Canyon Doe Stadium when the Super Eagles of Nigeria play the Lone Stars of Sierra Leone. A win or draw for the Nigerians will qualify them for the 2023 AFCON, but Sierra Leone will need a win to reignite their hope of qualifying for the Nations Cup. Napoli prolific striker Victor Osimhen says his teammates understand how crucial the encounter is and is ready to give Nigeria the needed 3 points at stake.
We just want to do our homework. Then on Sunday, we execute the job, get the tickets. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. They also have quality players that can get the job done for them. But just like I said, we are ready as an individual, as a team. We are really ready.
On Wednesday, Egypt sealed their qualification for the next Africa Cup of Nations finals after they defeated Guinea 2-1 in the Group D match played at the Marrakesh Stadium in Morocco on Wednesday evening. In basketball, 16 countries will take part in the inaugural Giants of Africa Youth Basketball Festival. The festival is part of Giants of Africa, a not-for-profit organization's way of enriching the lives of African youth through sports. Countries that will be participating in the festival include host Rwanda, Tanzania, Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Senegal, Somalia, Uganda, Botswana, Ghana, South Sudan, Morocco, Cameroon, and Mali. The festival is set to take place from August 13th to the 19th in Kigali and will bring together more than 250 youths from 16 countries to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the foundation. Co-founder of the organization, Masai Ujiri, who is the vice chairman and president of the Toronto Raptors of the NBA, said the foundation's aim is to continue to inspire and encourage African youth.
Well, the energy that basketball brings generally is just incredible. I was just at BAL, spent a lot of time with, obviously, basketball people. It's something that we need more of, and that's why we wanted to create the festival too, you know, like to have this moment on the continent where we start believing that we can do it.
Staying with basketball news, Rwanda local basketball governing body FAWABA has named the provisional teams that will represent the country at the under 16 Zone 5 Africa Basketball Championships qualifiers due in Kigali from June 27th to the 30th. The qualifiers are expected to attract 10 countries, namely Uganda, Burundi, Tanzania, Egypt, Kenya, South Sudan, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Somalia, and the host Rwanda. While Algeria, Angola, Egypt, Mali, Uganda, and host Tunisia have already qualified for the Continental Showpiece, 6 remaining tickets will be determined through the qualifiers in Kigali. Elsewhere in Uganda, American wheelchair sports basketball coach Peter Hughes says Ugandan para-athletes have the potential to win medals on the international scene if they are given the right equipment and professional training. Coach Hughes, who came to Uganda to provide technical assistance to Ugandan teams ahead of the Africa Paralympic Games due in Accra, Ghana this September, is already impressed with what he has seen in training so far.
What I really love about the Ugandan players is that they are very enthusiastic, they're eager to learn, they're eager to have opportunity, and they're listening very well at our camp. Today is day one.
In rugby news, South African national male rugby team, the Springboks, will begin their World Cup defense in France on September the 10th against Scotland in Marseille, and also will meet Romania, Ireland, the top-ranked team in the world, and then Tonga in Pool B. SA Rugby Director Rassie Erasmus has announced that injured Springboks captain Siya Kolisi will definitely miss the Rugby Championship in July, but may play a crucial role in the pre-World Cup matches the following month.
Siya will stay our World Cup or Springbok captain and captain for the World Cup until he's ruled out, you know, until the medically they say, listen, this guy will not make it. So he will stay there, and then we will use interim captains. And we discuss it with the players, and they know it's going to be like that. So we will use interim captains during the rugby championship.
And out of volleyball, Brazilian tactician Paulo Do Toso has reached an agreement to rejoin the Rwandan national volleyball team as the head coach. A source at the local volleyball governing body said Do Toso won the race for the top job, which a number of coaches were targeting. He's expected in the country at the end of June, where he will put pen to paper on a 3-year deal. Do Toso has previously had 2 spells with Rwanda as head coach from 2010 to 2011 before returning to the hot seat in 2021. In tennis news, Wimbledon Open doubles junior champion Angela Okutoyi says she's not taking any of her opponents lightly, despite another day of dominant performance at the Billie Jean King Cup on Thursday. The Kenyan continuing her searing form at the Continental Showpiece, dispatching Namibia's Linukwis Teron in the 6-1, 6-love fashion during their singles match on day 4 at the Nairobi Club on Thursday. Despite her emphatic victory over her Southern African opponent in just over 50 minutes, the youngster insists she had to sweat for the victory and is not leaving anything to chance.
Each match matters for me, and I don't take any match small. I take it as a big match. So even though I'm playing an easy opponent, I'm trying to follow my routines and play the same way I've been playing since the beginning, so I can keep up on my momentum and so I can stay the same, because I know tomorrow it's not going to be an easy match, definitely.
Staying in Kenya, London Marathon champion Kelvin Kiptum, women's marathon world record holder Bridget Kosgei, and world half marathon champion Geoffrey Kamawuro have all opted out of the marathon team for the World Athletics Championship scheduled for August 19th to the 27th in Budapest, Hungary. Titus Kipruto, who was placed fourth in this year's Tokyo Marathon in March, is the only one who has retained his place in the main team. Most of the athletes that had been named earlier have made an about turn in favor of the more lucrative and prestigious races coming later in the year, like the Berlin Marathon in September, New York City Marathon in November, and Chicago in October.
In soccer news this week, Real Madrid unveiled English midfielder Jude Bellingham as the club's latest signing. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has a profile of the England international who has joined the Spanish side on a 6-year contract. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Mokbill. This week, Jude Bellingham struck a pose wearing his new jersey for Real Madrid after it was announced he had completed a move from Borussia Dortmund to the La Liga club. Bellingham joins Real Madrid on a 6-year deal that's reportedly worth over $111 million. And at a Thursday press conference, the English midfielder told reporters he's proud to join what he called the greatest club in the history of the sport.
Hola a todos and hola Madridistas. I just want to say thank you everyone in the room and everyone watching online for joining me for the proudest day of my life, the day where I joined the greatest football club in the history of the game. So yeah, thank you very much. There's a lot of people to thank for getting me here to this point, Borussia Dortmund, Birmingham City, the people that work there, but also the bosses here, Mr. President, Yuni Califat, Jose Angel, and of course, most importantly, my family for all the support and making the deal as easy as possible. So thank you very much. And finally, Ala Madrid.
In their official announcement, Real Madrid said of Bellingham, quote, "Our club has signed one of the greatest talents in the world, a midfielder who comes from Borussia Dortmund and arrives at Madrid after being voted the best player in the Bundesliga." And on Thursday, Real Madrid president Florentino Perez also welcomed his latest signing.
Bienvenido al Real Madrid. Quiero transmitirte nuestro agradecimiento.
Speaking directly to Bellingham, Perez said, "Welcome to Real Madrid. I want to convey our gratitude to you because you have done everything possible to fulfill your great dream. Thank you for being a Madridista and for having the ambition to continue building your own history in this club, which is the most loved and admired, but also the most demanding in the world." In 2020, Bellingham became the sport's most expensive 17-year-old when he signed with Borussia Dortmund for $31 million. And during his 3 seasons in Germany, he evolved into one of the finest talents in the sport, turning in exceptional performances as a starter in both the Bundesliga and on England's national team. Now, at just 19, the teenage midfielder said, he's made a dream move to Madrid. Prior to this week's signing, Bellingham was linked to clubs in the Premier League, primarily Liverpool, that wanted to bring him to England. Liverpool stopped its pursuit of the English international due to the cost of signing him. However, Bellingham has recently revealed Liverpool's loss to Real Madrid in the 2022 Champions League final ultimately played a part in his decision, and he insists money was not a factor.
Money's not a thing for me. I don't think about money at all when I make these kind of decisions. I've never have. I never will. I play the game purely out of love. I spoke with the people when I was given permission by Borussia Dortmund. I spoke with Uni. I spoke with Jose Angel. And I love the feeling I got from the club. I couldn't hide it. I told them more or less straight away what I felt about the club. And after I made my decision, I wanted it to all happen quickly. You know, it wasn't a case of the other teams are bad or they weren't good. It's just that, for me, Madrid is the greatest.
And Bellingham singled out the support of his father, a former player who is now his agent, and brokered the deal between Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid.
Bit of a surprise when my dad sat me down and said, you know, you've had a bit of interest from Real Madrid, I think maybe 12, 15 months ago, maybe. So, yeah, when he said that, my goosebumps, really, my heart was close to stopping, because it's just something you don't expect growing up to be able to play for a team like this. So when it actually manifests itself, it's just such an amazing feeling.
Earlier this month, Real Madrid star Karim Benzema suddenly cut ties with the Spanish giants and signed a 3-year deal with Saudi Arabian champions Al Ittihad. Since his departure, Tottenham striker Harry Kane has been linked to Real Madrid as a possible replacement, a rumor Jude Bellingham refrained from commenting on.
The Harry Kane rumours, you know, I can't comment on that. He's a world-class player. He's my captain for the national team, and I love him as a player and as a person. And whatever happens there happens, but it's not really for me to comment about. And as for the tears of my father, I don't know if that was just sweat, to be fair. He doesn't often cry, so I think maybe he just caught a bit of sweat drip down his cheek. But I'll have to watch it back very closely and give him some banter about it.
Proud parents looking on as Jude Bellingham gets set to join a Real Madrid midfield that is rich in young talent. La Liga are scheduled to release the new 2023-24 season on June 22nd. On that day, we'll find out exactly when Bellingham will make his club debut. He's traded in his long-worn number 22 for the number 5 in a nod to club legend Zinedine Zidane. And Bellingham says he hopes to build on Real Madrid's legacy wearing Zidane's famous number. And that is all from me, Mokbill. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Moving things over to the pitch, rugby star and UNICEF regional ambassador for Eastern and Southern Africa, Tende the Beast Matwarira, has visited Zambia to highlight education issues and problems experienced by children. Across sub-Saharan Africa, 90% of 10-year-olds cannot read and understand a simple story. Kathy Short reports from Lusaka, Zambia.
I'm a big friendly guy.
This is Kasupe Primary School in Eastern Province, where Mtawariri interacted with children who attended classes under trees due to chronic school overcrowding. The teacher-pupil ratio is 1 to 80 in a classroom. Most schools in rural areas have only 2 classrooms for more than 500 students, and many classes are held outdoors under the harsh sun. Most of the children walk over 8 kilometers along dusty roads to attend classes. The rugby legend and World Cup winner visited schools in Chipata and Katete in Zambia's eastern province earlier this week. He joined their literacy lessons, writing words with chalk on the concrete floor in the absence of blackboards.
And our children are learning under the trees, and some children being in classrooms, tables and chairs are broken. And it's obviously quite disheartening that a lot of kids are learning in difficult circumstances like that.
In Zambia, 60% of students are performing below their grade in literacy and numeracy, according to a national assessment by the SACMEQ, the Southern and Eastern Africa Consortium for Monitoring Educational Quality. This reflects the deep learning crisis across the wider region, with 9 out of 10-year-old children unable to read a simple text with understanding or solve simple arithmetic problems. Mtawariri also took time to mentor and encourage the young learners. He commended the children for keeping up their school attendance despite the vast challenges they face.
You know, my travel here to Zambia was quite eye-opening. And obviously we know that there's a huge learning crisis in this region. Keep on, reaching for your dreams, Despite the circumstances that you have around you, you can rise above that and achieve your wildest dream. I wanted to encourage them on their journey. So I hope they got some hope and wisdom from myself.
Tendai Mtawariri is considered one of the best South African rugby players of all time. As well as being capped more than 100 times by the Springboks, he also played more than 150 games for the Sharks in Super Rugby. He was inducted into the Rugby Pass Hall of Fame in 2021. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Kathy Short in Lusaka, Zambia.
Moving to baseball, from cleaning cow sheds to hitting fastballs, Dennis Kasumba, an 18-year-old catcher from Uganda, is turning his American basketball dream into reality. VOA's Arzuma Kampore caught up with Kasumba in Frederick, Maryland, and has this story.
Dennis Kasumba learned to play baseball in Uganda, where many have not even heard of the game. This month, he took his first official steps onto an American baseball diamond with the Frederick Keys in a league for high-level amateur players.
When I saw my pictures are flowing in 88, 95, 98, can I hit these guys?
Your designated hitter, Dennis Kasumba.
Kasumba's journey from Uganda to the US has captured the imagination of thousands on social media. One of his admirers is Joshua Williams, an American attorney and baseball enthusiast who helped make Kasumba's dream a reality.
Just started because I saw a video of him hitting off of a tire, hitting a baseball off the tire with a Coke bottle. So I reached out to him on Facebook, started talking to him.
It took Kasumba almost 2 years to get a contract with the American baseball team. But for Frederick Key's manager, Rene Rivera, Kasumba was worth the wait.
We all see the, his videos on Instagram, the passion he put behind him so he can be good. And I think that the players already see that. They come and work.
Kasumba, who grew up an orphan in Wakiso outside the Ugandan capital, says he is determined to make the most of his opportunity.
There are a lot of kids, people calling my name, my jersey number. Kasumba, Kasumba, Kasumba. This is my first time to someone ask me a signature photo.
Kasumba says he's not just playing for the Frederick Keys. He's playing for his country, his online supporters, and every person who's ever dared to dream big. Orzuma Kampaure, VOA News, Frederick, Maryland.
Lastly, here's a conversation my colleagues, Action Jackson Vuganyi and Mike Hove, had with me about the state of African sports on the continent, the megastars that are playing abroad, FIFA Secretary General Fatma Somore leaving, and what that means for Africa. Take a listen. On this episode of The Sunny Side of Sports, I have with me my guys, Action Jackson Vuganyi, and I have with me Mike Hove. Gentlemen, let's just start off with FIFA Secretary General Fatma Somore, who is leaving after 7 years as the highest profile woman working in world soccer. She is a triple minority as a woman and a black person, and also the first Muslim that is a FIFA top administrator. Talk to me about the impact for African women being the second highest official in the world's largest sport. Jackson.
Listen, first of all, I think it was a surprise that she was in the beginning elected to this position or nominated or whatever, how they become administrators in FIFA. I think she came in at the time when FIFA was going through a lot of upheaval after the scandal, the corruption scandals and stuff like that. But, you know, she broke the glass ceiling, so to say, you know, the first woman, triple minority, like you said, black woman, Muslim, to hold such a high-ranking position in a body that controls one of the most popular sports in the world. I mean, I think soccer is the most popular sport in the world. And to have a woman helm it on that level, it was quite something that, you know, will be part of the history books, you know what I'm saying? Now that she's leaving, I don't know, for whatever reason she's leaving, hopefully they will have another woman or somebody of color or a black person, because, you know, representation matters, and the African continent provides a big segment of the population that watches soccer. And so, yeah, much respect to her, and she did a great job. We never had any scandals from her in an institution that controls billions of dollars and billions of fans, that she was able to hold it together. That speaks really highly of her.
No, absolutely. I definitely agree. And I would also say, just to keep it on that soccer wave, Mike, who have been some key soccer stars in Europe this year, if you would have to say?
Oh, man, there's been a lot. But before I even answer that, I also want to add to Jackson that let's watch how the FIFA World Cup panned out. We had a lot of women representation.
We did.
We cannot take away that her contribution towards that was an adding factor to that.
Absolutely.
But to get to soccer, to Europe itself, man, we've seen a lot of players stand out. We'll talk about Victor Osimhen, the man worth $150 million right now. Well, not dollars, pounds. He did a lot of amazing stuff with Napoli. We had, I guess you're an Arsenal fan, so I'll give you Bukayo Saka. He was standout. I'm a Man U fan, so I've got Casemiro, I've got Marcus Rashford. Those are amazing people. We've got Haaland. He did amazing things for Manchester City. There's a lot of standout players that did amazing things. But if we're going to talk African, we have to give it to Victor Osimhen, man. He did the unbelievable in Italy. So hats off to him.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
I agree with that. You know, Victor Osimhen, but Sadio Mane.
honorary mention for our main man. Honorary mention.
He did not have a great year. He missed the World Cup last year.
Yeah.
It's been tough for him, but really, you cannot mention African soccer in this generation without talking about Sadio Mane.
Yeah,
the impact that he's having on the game.
Absolutely. Now, I think you're right. He definitely had a tough season, but hopefully he will be back in form and potentially back to the Premier League where he did thrive. Maybe I believe the situation in the Bundesliga wasn't really fit for his style of play.
It didn't work for him, yeah.
So definitely hope to see him back in the Premiership. Now switching gears to the NBA. Gentlemen, any one of you can take this. Any African stars that are on the lookout that have been doing their thing in the NBA?
I mean, we have to start with the MVP. Joel Embiid, you know, what else can we say? I mean, the man has the trophy, or he had the trophy of the MVP. Not mm-hmm. NBA. Those are two different things.
Right.
But yeah, definitely shout out to Joel Embiid. He won it, even though many people thought that Jokic should have been the guy who, you know, took it. There's debate. There's something to be said about the debate.
Now, here's my thing, though, right? You know, Jokic versus Embiid. I personally was for Embiid, but, you know, seeing what Jokic did in the playoffs and now winning the very first NBA title
for
the Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
Do we still feel like Joel was the NBA this season?
I'm biased. So I'm biased. I'm going with Joel.
Me too. I'm biased. I'm going with Joel. I love your kick. He did great things for his franchise.
Right.
He's a humble guy.
Yeah, but it's still
but listen, it's Embiid. Embiid was hungry.
He was.
And in terms of like how we've seen his game evolve to this level,
yeah.
I mean, he did very well in following into the footsteps of Giannis. Both two players have really redefined basketball in America. The NBA is really
it's changing the landscape.
To see two African guys, Giannis and
stand out to that extent.
Yeah, to that level, man. Mm-hmm. Respect.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think Giannis and Joel both will be a staple in the NBA for years to come. And we also have the NBA Basketball Africa League that we all covered extensively, and that'll be a pipeline for NBA young talent.
We covered extensively. We left
no stone unturned.
All right, gentlemen. But lastly, can we expect growth in other sports in Africa? And if so, what sports?
I would say cricket.
Wow.
Yeah.
But we've always been standing out in cricket.
Yeah. But in Southern Africa,
the Proteas have always been the standard.
Yes, in Southern Africa.
Including Zimbabwe. They've always been the standard of what world cricket will be. We've always produced world standard players.
Yeah.
But to Jackson's point, it is at a point where it should expand. There's no point where we have a Ugandan baseball player.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why we shouldn't have a world star Ugandan cricket player.
I'm saying cricket personally because I have a friend of mine in Rwanda who spearheaded the building of the first cricket stadium in the country.
Amazing.
And we've seen so many young fans, you know, being, you know, waking up to the sport. This used to be like an elite sport, only for very few people. Yeah. And, you know,
when I lived in Kenya as well, I remember that cricket was on the rise. And this is maybe, 15 years ago. And to see the sport gradually progressing as it has at the moment, it's amazing, you know, because it has been a sport that's been dominated by the Indias of the world for some time. But now seeing what African talent has to bring to the table, we may see, you know, cricket being like the next up-and-coming sport.
Yes, and other sports, by the way. I love to see that our people are embracing all these different sports that we never even heard about younger. Lacrosse, there is a Ugandan lacrosse team that has actually been doing well. Aside from basketball and maybe cricket, there are other sports that were predominantly played out here in the West that are creeping on the African continent.
Including the NFL. Yeah. We have a lot of African stars, a lot of people that are stepping up and playing in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is true. That
absolutely.
Is true.
And Somalia is definitely going to be one of those countries to look at when it comes to the NFL.
Definitely not my Somali folks. Maybe in the NBA, maybe basketball and soccer, NFL. I really don't see that in our trajectory.
Like, oh my guy, listen, the intent is like I'm about to drop it.
That was a good one. Gentlemen, as we know, we could go on forever. It's been a pleasure having both of you on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Right,
definitely we'll have you on next time as well. Thank you guys so much for being on the show today.
For sure, for sure.
And that's a wrap for the June 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Mukbil Yabro, filling in for Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.